Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, the Force is strong with you all. And remember, Sith Wars.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best. May the Force be with you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. My name is David.
My name is Carl.
And my name is James.
And this is where we talk all things Star Wars. And happy Father's Day, everyone. Today is Father's Day. What's the date? June 19th, 2022. So, yeah, if you're a father out there, happy Father's Day. And if you're a mother out there, happy Father's Day, too, if you're doing double duty.
And happy Juneteenth. Also, today is Juneteenth. So, just throw that out there as well. So, hopefully, everybody's had a great week. And we are how many days away from the finale of Obi-Wan Kenobi?
We are about 3 days away.
Oof. And before we started recording, Carl and I had about a five-hour conversation about this. And we were just arguing about, not arguing, we were having a discussion. It was a civil debate. Because we weren't like mad. We were just trying to figure it out. Because there are things. I mean, do you want to get into it now, David? Or do we have stuff that we should probably go over first?
Well, I wanted to talk about a few things first. So, if you are at Galaxy's Edge in Orlando right now, you will encounter this guy. He is currently there right now with our swag in hand. And if you do see him...
That face, man.
Yeah, man. It's wonderful. He's actually filming a video for Patreon for the Galaxy's Edge Adventures for that specific tier. So, yeah. Colin is out there, and approach him. He will be glad to talk to you.
Yeah, I don't know. How long is he going to stay there? Oh, Rule Farm Boy, thank you for joining us today. He's listening on YouTube. But yeah, how long is Colin going to stay there today?
I'm not quite sure. Should be a pretty good while. He's doing a pretty long video, I believe. But also the other thing I want to talk about is the fact that James and I, apparently, we're a dyad because we both got sick simultaneously.
Oh no, you got sick too? Oh no.
So yeah, we pretty much were kind of down and could not record anything for Patreon. So we missed the past 2 days. I know we talk about Patreon content daily, but yeah, we were kind of out of commission and we were going to do stuff, but I think it was a combination of trying to recover from celebration, and then we caught something. I don't know.
Well, I know what I caught, and I just tested positive today for COVID.
So, oh, man.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
2 years. I had my booster, both my vaccine shots, and here I am. So that's why I sound a little rough, and I'm sorry. But yeah, but I'm home. I feel good, just a little weak. But that's normal, you know. But no, I'm just kidding. But no, I'm just a little under the weather. But I'm glad I could do this, and we could do this via, you know, digitally across. I don't know how far away are we all right now. I'm in California.
You're Anaheim.
Yeah.
And Carl is Central Texas.
Yeah.
And I'm
in
South Texas.
Austin, and he's almost San Antonio, so yeah. We're like 90 miles apart.
Nice, and I'm 1900 miles away from y'all. Yeah. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Rule of Harm Boy. What else? What other? Yeah, like we said, don't worry though. We will get back on it. I do enjoy those conversations David and I get to have for Patreon. They're a lot of fun. It's just two of us just talking about Star Wars, and which I don't know. That's kind of how you and I became friends, David. We started texting each other about Star Wars, and then that was it. So
yeah, that was awesome. And I became friends with Carl about 20 years ago. And
wow,
it really wasn't over Star Wars. I think it was over video games at first, because
probably
the first Xbox was about to launch. We were in school together, and I think I just heard him talking about it, and I was like, "Hey, man, what's the deal with the new next gen console here?" And he kind of broke it down to me, and I was like, "Wow, he actually has done his research. And then I think we became friends over that. And I found out he was a big Spider-Man Marvel fan. And then I found out, of course, he's a big Star Wars fan. He actually had a TIE Pilot helmet in his apartment when I went over to go play Halo for the first time. And I was like, where'd you get this? I don't think I've ever seen a TIE Pilot helmet in person. And yeah, I mean, we've been to, I guess, 3 total celebrations now, plus Galaxy's Edge for the first time in Orlando. And of course, Carl and I drove 22 hours straight to Anaheim for this last celebration, which was incredible. Yeah, Carl has that superpower to actually stay awake.
All power to you, man. Because when David told me, I was a little scared for both of y'all. I was like, man, because it's doable, but it is a very boring trip as well. Like, there's really not a lot to see from Texas to.
Well, I will say it's, I found it easier to drive nonstop from Texas to Orlando than from Texas to Anaheim. Because drive through the desert is boring.
It's horrible. I saw a tumbleweed for the first time, like a legit tumbleweed go across the. I was like, I looked at my brother, and I was like, what is that? And we like slowed down. And I was like, look, they exist. It's not just in the movies, you know. It's not just in the westerns. But yeah, well, I'm glad y'all made it there safe. And I got to meet Carl at Celebration. We went bowling, and
that was the first time you met him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've never met in person.
And then you're a scout trooper.
Remember, I had to skip out of Chicago Celebration.
Right, but James was there in 2017, and Carl drove straight to Orlando. Jeez. So Carl's driven straight from South Texas to Orlando. South Texas to Anaheim. So he's driven completely across the United States.
That is bizarre, dude. Well, is Carl in the Legion? You want to answer that question, Carl?
The what?
Somebody asked, Rule Farboy asked, is Carl in the Legion?
No. I am not. Believe it or not, I have a massive amounts of props and whatnot. And
so, wait, you're not in the 501st?
I am not in the
501st. What?
Let me explain it. So well, please explain. I told Carl he needs to be in the 501st because he's such a huge, massive Star Wars fan. He has Legion approvable costumes. It's just, I don't know. I guess there's red tape around it, or I don't know. But
your scout trooper looked amazing at Celebration. Like,
yeah, he was the best scout trooper there. I didn't see anyone that was even remotely close to looking screen accurate. Someone you pull right off of a speeder bike from Return of the Jedi. I told him it was awesome. He looked great.
What was that?
I don't want to get smashed against a tree. Please don't pull me off my speeder bike.
My favorite memory is we were standing there in line, and Carl, you were like, I'm going to go to the bathroom, but we couldn't hear you. You're like, I'm going to the bathroom. mask covers everything. And then David is like, look at this. And Carl, I can't see it. Like, I can't see what you're pointing to. But what's up, guys? I wish I knew who this was.
Facebook user, what's up?
What's up? Thank you for joining us. But yeah, so Carl, and if you look at the back, that's your 3D printer back there, and you have like a whole collection of like awesome stuff, right? I mean, I've seen you showed me a picture, or David showed me a picture of your collection that you have.
Yeah, I mean, this is my office. There's not a lot of stuff in here. There's about to be more electronic equipment in here, but that's because I'm doing various things on the side. But my living room is filled with hot toys. And
it looks awesome.
Yeah, anybody who was at Celebration, they had that life-size bust of Darth Vader in one of the cases at the Sideshow booth. I own one of those. So that's my centerpiece in my Star Wars, to my Star Wars case. So.
Dude, they had some sick toys over there at the hot toys area.
You just couldn't buy them, though.
Just gonna buy them, but man, looking at some of them, I was like, "Oh my gosh!"
Most of them weren't even available for purchase yet, not even for pre-order yet. So I was a little confused why they were even there.
Why they put them out? I will say one of the sickest ones was Rey and Kylo Ren fighting on the Death Star, and like the waves are behind them. I was like, "That is amazing." But yeah, you just couldn't buy them. Just like they had the Lola toys there at the section, and they were like, "Yeah, you can't buy them, but they're here. It is. I ordered one, by the way. It's going to be coming in December, so I'm so excited. Did y'all order a Lola toy?
I did not. but mainly, for one, I'm pretty sure they're gonna be readily available. Because that's like one of the cutesy toys for that people will buy for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so there should be plenty of those available.
I hope so. Speaking of
toys that are readily available, the Babu Frick that they made readily available at Galaxy's Edge sold out in one day, according to Colin. So,
did Colin get one?
No, he didn't get one. He took a picture of one, didn't buy one, left. And then he's like, hey, guys, check it out. And I was like, hey, get me one. He's like, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. And he's there today, and he said they sold out. So.
I got to look for it here.
And see,
by something like that, odds are they're going to have more. I mean,
yeah, they'll have more. Yeah. But they always do that when there's a big Star Wars event. We all leave, they release something cool, you know? It seems like that's like the thing.
They had Andor t-shirts at the trading post at Downtown Disney in a corner, and nobody was like walking over there. And I bought one. It's pretty sick. But it was one of those things that I was like, how come they didn't put this front and center? No, it was legit hidden behind a bunch of stuff. And I was like, so yeah.
You know what I understand why they stopped, at least apparently stopped selling, is the USB comm link.
Oh, yeah.
I asked you about that, James.
The Bluetooth comm link. They made it. Matter of fact, I had it in my hand when we were there last year. And I was like, I'll just pick this up another time. I'm sure these will be around. And then they just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, I haven't seen them. I haven't seen them in the parks. I have to go and check it out now. Because you're right. I haven't seen those in a long time.
And that seems kind of like a no-brainer piece of equipment. That's not even expensive. Even for Disney prices, it wasn't expensive. It was like $40 at the park.
Yeah, that's cheap for all of you who don't go to Disney a lot. That's actually a pretty good price for something there.
Right. And if you think about it, it's a $5 piece of electronic equipment. in all reality. But
true.
Yeah, I would pay $40. I have no problem paying $40 for it. But now that I want one, I can't get one. Now I'm going to have to build my own.
You got a 3D printer back there.
Well, I do have that.
What else we got? Sorry, what else we got today, David?
So I think the statute of limitations is over. I think we can talk about the last episode. And if you haven't seen the last episode, what are you doing here?
let us know. Watch the last episode, everybody, of an Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Spoilers for the penultimate episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi that aired how many days ago?
Just kidding.
5 days ago. So, yeah, here we go. You're doing a countdown. 5, 4.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. David, what did you think about this episode?
I really liked it. There were some reports that we were going to see this happen, a sparring between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker. And that's exactly what we got. The episode started with him viewing the apartment, apparently, that he shared with Padme, or Padme's apartment.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool to see Hayden back as Anakin Skywalker once again, as a Padawan. And there was a lot of debate where this took place in the timeline. And of course, you can clearly see there he doesn't have the glove on. So it's either during the Attack of the Clones time frame or before.
Shortly before. Time frame.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it clearly is before the Dooku duel. So.
Right.
You know, I just realized something. This could be almost some like in the time. Within the movie, because he's looking at her apartment, unless he knew about the apartment before he visited in Attack of the Clones. You know what I mean? Because in Attack of the Clones, when he visits her, it looks like that's the first time they've seen each other or anything. So,
to make sure, if you look at the background, most of these buildings look pretty much like it's the same architecture. So technically, this could be anybody's apartment.
True, true, very true.
But one of the questions I had about the scene, this is actually something that occurred to me when I first watched, is where's the traffic?
That's an extra. Like
if you watch episode 2, actually any Coruscant scene, there's tons of speeders flying around everywhere. This scene, there's none.
My buddy, he pointed that out to me because I said, he was like, it's Coruscant. I was like, what planet is it? I said, it's Coruscant. He's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, Yeah.
So a lot of people have talked about that. If you look really closely, really closely, the traffic is there.
I see them now.
Yeah, they're like little tiny specks. They're like almost like pixels, but the traffic is there.
They couldn't do it all out.
But there should be traffic up close. Okay, yes, there's stuff like microbial in the background, but where's the up close traffic?
They can't fly near the Jedi Temple, obviously.
Right, that's a no fly zone.
Even around the Jedi Temple, there's tons of traffic.
Yeah, true. Because Obi-Wan was they're looking at it in a Phantom Menace. No, I think. That type of visual effect is, I don't know. There's already a lot happening, and I think they were like, it's not important to fully render little ships flying, you know, right there next to them. We'll put them in the distance, and people will know. But yeah,
My problem was when this scene first started up, I was like, are we going back to Alderaan? Because it like, kind of looked like Alderaan initially, because it's really nice and bright, and there's no traffic. So I was like, Alderaan? Oh no, we're on. Or something, then there's the traffic question. Maybe they just ran out of budget. I don't know. It just seems like a weird thing to omit and a cheap effect at that.
One thing I'd heard a lot of people talk about was the de-aging they did on Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen. I think I know what they did and why they did it, and I'm okay with it. So what they did was they digitally did de-age them, but not so much like they did with Luke in, like the deep fake, how they did with Luke in anyways. Because I think what happens is the more you start to do that, the more effect you start putting on an actor, the more their mouth moves and it just looks a little off. And
I think the biggest problem with deep fake in general is you can't do full motion of the character. You can't do a full conversation. They kind of have to talk like they're just kind of talking over the corner of their mouth kind of thing, which is what Luke's doing the entire time. He doesn't open his mouth.
Exactly.
And if you do that, then that's fine. The other thing is, with this scene in particular, is they're on a balcony, brightly lit. Luke is always in shadow in Mandalorian. So lighting has a lot to do with that. The problem is to do deepfake is not a very good system. It only works under certain conditions, and if you stay within certain parameters, that's how that effect works. You can deepfake learn things in. It takes a very long time. I don't know if anybody's ever played with any type of deepfake stuff. It takes a very long time to get that to work. It's not necessarily expensive. It takes time because you have to let the computer learn how the two different faces that you're matching up move, and then it makes a median out of the two.
David? What did you think about the de-aging of them?
You know, we have that experience when we see Luke Skywalker at the end of Mandalorian season 2, and this is like far beyond better than that. And of course, I mean, we have Luke from the Book of Boba Fett and we have that experience. So this was kind of almost in between in a way. For me, you couldn't really tell right away that you were looking at. I mean, if you didn't have the knowledge that this was shot last year, it would be kind of hard to tell when it was actually shot. But there, not concentrate on anything, there does feel like to me that there is something a little off with Hayden's face, and kind of the same thing with Ewan McGregor.
I agree.
Yeah,
Hayden has the benefit of having the beard though, so that's a little unfair too.
Because yeah, true.
Most of his face is covered.
Yeah, there's a little like uncanny valleyness to what they're supposed to look like. There's something off, and people have pointed to maybe the wrinkles in Hayden's forehead.
I think Hayden also has the most difference between his face from 20 years ago and to now.
He's aged a little bit.
But there's also that going from 18-year-old to 40-year-old, you know, that there's a huge gap there as far as what happens with your face structure in that time frame. Whereas going from 40-year-old to 60-year-old is not the same thing.
But
I get that Ewan McGregor is not 60 yet, but.
Yeah. I liked how they did it, how the sun, like you said, they kind of just met in the middle with how to achieve this. And of course, like Carl was saying, it's well lit, it's there, they have to talk, and we can't be distracted by the fact that their mouths are like just barely moving. And I was about it. I thought it was pretty cool. And the shots of Vader were pretty cool. Not as cinematic as, you know, Empire Strikes Back. But still, it's pretty cool to see. And get to know. I was. And are we sure that this is Hayden Christensen right here in the suit? Or could this be anybody else in the suit?
Well, we're not 100% sure. We do know that there are stunt doubles and walking stunties. And they have a movement coach, apparently. And there was a... One of the stunt actors posted a photo helmetless with another stunt Vader, and he said, "This is us with our movement coach." And they got the movement down perfectly, I think, for Vader walking through shots.
Yeah,
the way he actually carries himself and his gait and everything. Also, the other huge point of contention, which I don't think should be a point of contention, is Vader's voice. People have taken offense to the fact that. People will say that's James Earl Jones when clearly we know that's not James Earl Jones right now.
Yeah.
We heard his voice in Rogue One. He sounds older. His voice definitely does sound different compared to the original trilogy. But of course, yeah, they had to have used re-speecher to modify his voice back to what he sounded like in the original trilogy. Same thing that what they did with Mark Hamill. With Luke Skywalker, the right. voices and that technology audio, I think is perfect now.
Yeah, audio is a lot further along than the whole face thing because.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Audio yeah. Like voices have a lot less markers, which is why like voice actors that sound kind of like the actors get away with it so easily. You know, because if you listen to a lot of people that do the book recordings, for example, they get Ewan McGregor down pretty well, most of them.
Yeah.
So you buy it a lot easier than a face. Faces are so distinct, and that's what, you know, people tie themselves to. So why, for example, I don't like any deep fake effect that's ever been on screen, ever. I think they all look horrible. Including, you know, End of Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett included. I don't think any of that looks convincing. It looks terrible. But... yeah, it works for some people. I don't understand how, because it looks fake and dead.
But like we said, the voice stuff has come a lot further than the face.
Right.
But because, I mean, they do credit it as James Earl Jones because it is his voice. It is his voice going through this program, and they're able to tweak the lines to make him sound, which in a way it's kind of scary that you can do that. But I like that they're using it for movies, you know, not like politicians and world leaders. As of yet, so the fact that you could use it now for Darth Vader and for Mark Hamill, for Book of Boba Fett and The Mandalorian, I think it's pretty cool. And you're right, Vader's voice does sound natural. It does sound like James Earl Jones recorded those lines, and I think it's great.
Yeah, the other interesting conversation was these lightsabers when Obi-Wan walks into the cave here and he encounters these lightsabers. Immediately, I was like, yep, those are lightsabers from past Jedi that we know, but apparently it's not. These are sabers that look very similar to sabers we all know and love. Like the one at the very top looks a lot like Maul's, which that'd be weird if Maul's was there. But there's also one that resembles...
The middle section of that one, by the way, doesn't match Maul at all. So
yeah, no.
Yeah, there's one there that looks a lot like Phantom Menace Obi-Wan's, but apparently... People have gone over this really closely and really inspected them, and it seems like these are all kind of kitbashed, so just thrown together in the end.
I would imagine we talked about this before the show, that this is literally part of the stock from, you know, when you watch the special features on the episode 2 stuff, all the behind the scenes stuff where they have this giant box of lightsabers that they let the actors pick their lightsaber from. I'm pretty sure these are probably the lightsabers that didn't get picked. but me. So why not use them for this? It wouldn't make perfect sense to me anyways. So, but yeah, I don't think there's anything recognizable in that.
So one of the critiques I had was they're over there bombing this this blast door, and then Reva goes over there with her lightsaber and it cuts it like right away. I was like,
yeah, why didn't she just cut it open in the first place? Well, then again, that was my immediate reaction when that cut occurs. At first, I thought, okay, well, she's actually the one that's stalling, is what I thought, that she just didn't want to just break it open before Vader got there. But yeah, then there's that. Like, okay, it took you less than 5 seconds to open this thing, but...
Or maybe they needed to...
Shooting on it beforehand?
Yeah, it doesn't make any... I mean, then again, the lightsaber is way too powerful because there's a lot of problems in Star Wars that you're like, oh, they can do this with a lightsaber. Oh, they can do this with a lightsaber. And it's like...
Well,
but they can't.
Yeah, but you know what I will say, though, is an incredibly overpowered weapon? Yes, it is, but... At least it's a consistently overpowered weapon. Like, it doesn't change its abilities. It's always able to do this. And
okay, exactly. That's why I'm saying that kind of messes up some of the problems that they have. We're like, how are we going to get out of this? I was like, just get out your lightsaber and you could just do this, you know, like, or get out this and you could do that, because it can cut through metal. You will be able to open the door. So,
right. Now, one thing that they do explain in some of the Legends novels, at least, is that using a lightsaber is incredibly difficult. They've never actually explained that in canon, that it's not as it's so easy as to just turn it on and you kind of wave it around.
Which is why I'm glad they did that with Book of Boba Fett with Mandalorian using the darksaber. I was like, ah, oh, nice. I like that. Because even whenever they did New Hope, George Lucas told the stunt guy, you know, it's a heavy blade, so it's always two-handed. You always hold it with two hands. You never hold it with one hand. And so, yeah, that's it, yeah. But, yeah, Herc just cutting the door like that, I was like, oh, my gosh, come on. But
can you imagine being one of the stormtroopers on the outside? We've been standing here for half an hour to an hour, and you could open this. What are we doing here, lady?
Do you have any bombs we just launched at this thing, you crazy lady? But, one of the things that I liked was that they finally acknowledged that all of our suspicions, which was that was Reva there at the Jedi Temple. She did see Anakin as Darth Vader coming in and gave her a motive. I mean, but all this we saw from the very first episode.
Yeah, I mean, that was really the only explanation.
But in the end, though, I thought that was cool. We finally got it. And I saw somebody, they made a meme where she was like, where were you, Obi-Wan? Why weren't you there to save us? And he was like, because I was riding a space lizard, yo. You know, like, I was
riding a lizard. Getting shot up by a tank?
Yeah, exactly. And so, also that meme where it's a Donald Glover coming in with the pizza and everything's on fire. It's like, hey guys, Obi-Wan's back after killing General Grievous, and then it's all bad. This was a good moment right here.
Yeah, I like it. I kind of wish that they had done this a little bit more. I don't know, the relationship between her and the robot wasn't fully established. I didn't feel like, I mean, you got it, but you didn't like, oh, these are best buds, you know.
It was okay with like the little bit we got.
Yeah, I mean, you still got the point of it, and you know, the fact that the robot's offering himself up for her to shield her, and that was cool. But
and then the fact we got the thermal detonator back from Return of the Jedi, like, come on.
One question I did have, okay, if you're carrying thermal detonators, why aren't you throwing those out there before everybody gets slaughtered? I'm just saying, you could have killed 20-30 stormtroopers beforehand.
Well, because maybe she only has one.
Why didn't you mention that this was amongst our arsenal in the first place? But
yeah, I mean, maybe there's only one, and maybe it's like an IG-11 situation where there's only one and you got to use it at the right spot.
It was just a thought that came to mind when she pulled it off. Like, hey, wait a second,
But yeah, this sacrifice was made right in front of Obi-Wan Kenobi, right when those blast doors close, which echoes his sacrifice in A New Hope.
Very true.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. That's really
the eventual good. Sacrifice that he's going to make.
Unless, yeah. according to Carl, they're going to change all that, right? I'm just kidding. He never even.
Yeah. Cannon Schmannon. You can't quit. I fought for too long. And we finally got the introduction of Roken. Mm-hmm. Or did we get it in the previous episode?
We got it in the previous episode.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
By the way, one quick thing on that duel between Anakin and Obi-Wan. Did it seem a little odd to anybody aside from myself that Anakin was just way, way too aggressive in that duel? Like, I mean, it's one thing to be aggressive and get told, hey, you need to calm it down a bit, but he was like full on beating down on Obi-Wan, like he was wanting to kill him. And, you know, that seemed a bit to the point where it seemed to me like Obi-Wan should have been like, hey, and you're going a little bit too dark side on this one. And this is just a duel, man. Calm down.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think Obi-Wan is like, oh, he's just a kid. You know, like, he's just a child. I'll teach him a good lesson after this. But no, I will say he was fighting very aggressively.
Yeah, I mean, this was Luke at the, you know, in Return of the Jedi kind of beat down that he was unleashing, like full on anger, just going after it. And it's like, that's a bit too much. Maybe dial it down a little bit, but that was just my feeling.
So, yeah, RFB is asking if we saw Sully make it to the transport. I never saw her got hit by a blaster. The other T-47 pilot.
Oh, I mean, I didn't see her. I'm pretty sure she's on board.
Yeah.
We know Wade didn't make it. I like how they made that death so dramatic, and we were like, "Oh, we just met him," you know.
Like, yeah.
Well, did we? I mean, always did we actually meet him? I mean, we really did.
I liked him going back out there. And then giving up all his stuff and hit that line, there are other ways to fight, which I was like, that's pretty cool. That's a good callback to A New Hope.
Yep.
And then
I love the callbacks.
And then he's like, you're not bringing me to him. I'm bringing him to you, which I thought that was pretty cool. And then what else?
Yeah, I think this kind of turn here made people that were kind of on the edge or kind of really not liking Reva's character kind of turn to actually liking her whole like process of getting her story arc here. I thought that was a really cool plot point for the story that you have a youngling that infiltrated the Inquisitorius and is hunting Vader within the halls there of the Fortress Inquisitorius, and it's all a big plan. But of course, we see at the end of the episode, a lot of people made a big kind of commotion about the Grand Inquisitor getting stabbed in the stomach, and how could they do this? It breaks canon. Of course, we see him show up in the end.
Have you seen any previous Star Wars thing? Because anybody who gets stabbed in the stomach survives. Aside from the fact that even in real life, you know, people that get stabbed in the stomach don't die instantaneously. I have several friends that have several gunshot wounds to the abdomen, and all of them are just fine today. So, but I don't understand how Star Wars characters keep thinking they killed somebody when they stabbed them in the gut, because that's not a... Especially if you cauterize the wound, you're probably okay. You might pass out from the pain, but you'll be all right.
Qui-Gon died. I just want to say that.
Yeah, so, no, I understand.
I'm just messing with you.
What I'm saying is purely medically.
No, I know. I saw it.
You're probably okay.
Like, Qui-Gon must be pissed right now because he's like, dude. He's like, what the? He's
like, but it was all part of the plan, though, James. He knew that he could become one with the Force. Come back from the nether realm of the Force.
Now, my Qui-Gon doesn't get exactly stabbed in the gut. His is more centered chest.
So yeah, his is the chest.
Yeah. So he might have gotten stabbed through the heart. Toasty Waffles.
That's a great name, Toasty Waffles. But one thing that made me laugh, and I was watching with my wife, and the part where the Grand Inquisitor is like, he's like, vengeance has a power, is a powerful weapon, and blah, 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 blah. And I made the joke. I was like, And plus he adds, I had to be alive for Rebels for a really cool story arc, so I can't die just yet, okay?
But it pretty much, I mean, I naturally assume when that scene happened, well, clearly he's not dead because he's alive in Rebels, so therefore we get him back. Matter of fact, when the scene when she's talking to Vader happens, I almost assume that after he turns on off the holo projector that the Inquisitor steps out from behind Vader's chair, kind of thing. Because it seemed kind of obvious that Vader knows that he's alive.
It's not. Oh yeah, most definitely.
He seems to be playing with her more than anything. Just the way that he kind of, I know what you want.
Well, what I think he's using her to get to Obi-Wan, you know. And right. So I think that's a very interesting part about how Vader's thought process during all of this. And then Carl had a problem with this part.
Yes, I did. I didn't have a problem. I mean, for one, it seems a little overpowered, but my problem is, okay, there's another ship in the background, okay, and we know who's in the other ship, and you don't realize that the engines are running on that one as well?
I mean,
well, he's enraged. I mean, when you're enraged, you don't really focus on anything,
and you know,
other than what you're enraged on.
You got a point there. You got a point because he does say like he's gonna do this, and I'll be, and then they're like, "How do you know?" And he's like, "Well, he's like, I trained him, and I know what the thought process was." And even, oh my, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, because even during their sparring, even though it looks like Anakin has the high ground, Obi-Wan still pulls a fast one on him because he's so focused on this one thing that he doesn't even see the other attack coming. And yeah, so instead of Obi-Wan attacking him, he tricked him. He said he's going to be so angry and so focused, he's not even going to think to look anywhere else. And they wrap a little too high. That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
What I liked about it is that it's pulled directly out of Force Unleashed. So that's
I know, dude. It was so cool. And then how he just like pulls the freaking like, just pulled it apart. I was like, that is so cool.
Yeah, I had just had my mouth open when I was watching this.
Well, it says Vader's trading too. You can tell he's
taking
a lot out of him.
Yeah, it's taking a lot out of him.
It's so cool.
Yep. And I love the fact that you see this teaching moment with Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Yeah, I thought
you're a great warrior. Yeah, that's.
I think that's they utilized that flashback so well. The cutting back and forth was done so well. Was the first ship piloted by droids? I don't know, man. We don't know.
There's been Obi-Wan with the Force. You never know.
Well, but here's the other thing. I mean, initially I had a problem with that as well. But then if you think about it, we have Teslas today that can drive themselves to a
parking
lot. Yeah. I mean, it's so easily you could argue that, okay, there's an autopilot that takes off on its own and just brings it to orbit so that the crew can just chill and hang out. So somebody could have pressed the autopilot button, walked out of the ship and got on the other one, and that thing just takes off by itself. So. I'd buy that because, like I said, we have self-driving cars today. So, and this technology is clearly advanced over what we have.
And a lot of people are saying this fight between Reva and Vader was one of their favorite fights. They weren't anticipating such a cool moment.
I like the fight. I don't like the way they shot it.
Yeah, it seems like it's not as cinematic as it can be.
Yeah, you know what this reminds me of is, you know, you go all side view Street Fighter style fighting game, like where there's no in and out movement of the camera. You're not panning around the shot. You just, you know, fighter A, fighter B, fight, and there they go. You know, there wasn't any, because if you watch Star Wars in general, usually the camera kind of moves around and you get different shots on what's happening in the scene, not just, you know, side by side, go at it. But I missed that a little bit. I think it could have been
shots a little better. So correct me if, what was Deborah Chow's previous work before this?
She shot episodes of Bad Robot. I think she worked on a couple other things.
Because I know when The Last Jedi came out, Rian Johnson said he liked that old school martial arts technique where the camera just is on the side watching. Like, that's why that fight between Phasma and Finn is all done from that angle. Not all of it, but some of the side angle, the profile angle of them fighting. And it's just
Better Call Saul, American Gods.
Oh, nice.
Jessica Jones, Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, the fact that Vader never even drew. Yeah, the fact that he didn't even pull out his own lightsaber was pretty awesome during this entire fight.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm just going to mess with her. You know what I mean? Like, he just.
Yeah, he just dismisses her. Literally, even the hand gestures he makes are just kind of like, yeah, no, it's okay. Calm down. You're not doing anything here today.
And I like that they did the stopping the blade, because I think the first time we saw that was in The Rise of Skywalker, holding the blade like this with your hand.
And the effect was so cool when Rey and Kylo did that, but they didn't
do it here. Yeah, they could only do so much here.
Yeah.
Even though I actually like the fact that it looks so effortless without an effect, even better, because it shows what the power level difference here is. It's like, you were never going to do anything here, little girl.
Yeah.
Like, you thought you were one step ahead of me. You never were.
Yeah, you were never ahead. You're not at the power level to even challenge.
That was really cool.
Oh, when he stops the spinning, I was like,
yeah.
And then he takes it away and, you know, breaks it in half.
Vader with two sabers.
Yeah, this was all just like, this is perfect. You know, like, I dug this last part a lot. I thought it was really, really well done. And then, of course, the stab, the flashback between she sees him, but then she also sees what he really is, or who he really is, which is Anakin coming towards her. I thought that was beautifully edited. And then, of course, you get the reveal that the Grand Inquisitor is not dead. Apparently, Rupert Friend was on Jimmy Kimmel, and they're like, and you got stabbed, right, in the stomach? And he said, one of the stomachs. And right, everyone was like, oh. And he just kind of looked at the camera like, you know. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, that's an awesome picture right there. But yeah, Grand Inquisitor's back. Rupert Friend, he will be in San Antonio in August signing and taking autographs or taking pictures. So yeah, I mean, it's hopefully with all the rumors and everything that's flying around, he is going to return back as the Grand Inquisitor. And it's, yeah, Matt, he's referring to another meme that they draw.
Oh, jeez. I tell her she's a Grand Inquisitor. Yeah. They all start laughing. Toasty Waffle said, I really thought he was going to pull a Dooku finish, which I honestly thought too. I was like, whoa, they are going to just do it. Like, but nah.
So, yeah, that really makes me think he didn't behead her because maybe he still wants more to do with her being, maybe he can, I mean, he probably has the notion that he can maybe turn her back to the dark side and have her be, I mean, that's a possibility. That's the only reason that I could come up with why he just didn't behead her and just stab her in the stomach and gave her that possibility.
I would have much preferred that, to be good honest. I mean, I don't know what's coming in the last episode with her. But I mean, in all honesty, I think it would have been most dramatic if he had just finished her.
I'm right there with you, Carl. And I'm about to say I don't like Reva. I think she's a great, you know, addition to Star Wars. But with Vader's track record and also going off of the original trilogy as well, I mean, he choked a dude out for losing the Millennium Falcon. Like, he straight up murdered a guy.
Yeah, or jumping out of hyperspace too close to Hoth. You know, it's like, okay, yeah. Come on. In that case, he kills an admiral over that. You know,
But he's not going to kill Reva for
straight up murder her for trying to kill him.
So I'm right there with you, but like we said, we don't know what's going to happen in the last episode. And like I said before, it's not like I don't like Reva. I think Reva is great. I have nothing against the character.
It felt to me to be kind of more of a, because it's in the script, kind of answer to why is this happening? Because it's in the script.
Just like
there was no rhyme or reason to it, really. I mean, at the minimum, watch her die at least. You know, if you're that evil of a person, you would sit there and just deny her medical attention and just make sure she just kind of croaks in front of you, which she would without medical attention.
But good old. Well, there is a back to tank still there.
Well, right. That's why you deny her. You just stand there and you know, make sure she doesn't get back up.
You're right. I know. It just hit me right now that that's still there, which means that's where she's probably going to go.
Yeah, that's what she's
going to have. Yep. Vader does not kill without purpose. There's more to him. Yeah. You're right. I mean, you're right. You're 100% correct. So yeah, there is a reason why Vader is doing what he's doing. And of course, here comes the Grand Inquisitor. Rupert Fred has a good voice for this. Like,
yeah,
he sounds like this normally, right? Like, he doesn't even have to. I'm just kidding.
That's I believe he is from the UK.
I know he's from the UK, but his voice sounds so evil. Even if he's just saying, hello, I would like a cup of tea today. You know, he would probably sound just like that. So this part was a little funny when they were like, they're behind us. And then all Obi-Wan is thinking about
it. By the way, stop it right there for a second. Does anybody notice the fact that how did her lightsaber reattach to itself?
It's a magnet.
Vader took it apart and throws it in. It throws
James, it magnets.
Yeah, but really powerful magnets. I mean,
rare earth magnets.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where you're like, didn't you just break that thing a second ago?
Go back and see what he did with it.
Like, I mean, Vader pauses his off to the side, and she has hers in her hand. But
I always because he comes at her with the two of them like that. Right. I always assumed the Inquisitor lightsabers came apart like that already.
All right. Okay, so here he is. Well,
all right, guys, we're gonna watch this and see how.
Yeah, see what happens, whether that's an inconsistency or not. Okay, stab.
Okay. And pulls the blade out.
Okay, pulls the blade out.
He still has them in his hand.
They're still separate.
And oh, there it is. We don't know what happened.
Yeah, but
they cut away just long enough so we don't see what happened to the plane.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny that he's like, "Oh, let me fix this for you. Hold on. Yeah, I'm sorry, I broke your lightsaber. Let me give it back to you." It's weird.
But the final shot of the show, I was like, "Oh, this is gonna this is gonna get good." Sorry about that. But the fact that we get, you know, Obi-Wan realizing something's wrong and that they're gonna go after Luke. That's going to be really big. That means the showdown is going to be on Tatooine, most likely, which is a rumor I'd heard before.
Yeah. Now, mind you, how do you make a mistake like that? First, on Bail Organa's part, I'm going to send an open message to somebody about committing treason.
Well, I mean, it was just the Obi-Wan. He didn't think. He was desperate. Well,
yeah, but that's the first part. But then if you're Obi-Wan, you receive the message. Why don't you delete it? Like, that's the type of thing. If you're, you delete that immediately. I mean, it's like, oh crap! You know, this is like information in here that could jeopardize my entire reason for living right now.
Yeah, we'll never know. I mean, because the plot needed to go forward, Carl.
Aha! There's that script again.
But no, I mean, like we said before we started this episode, is there's a lot of things in Star Wars that happened because it has to happen. Like, we, you know, like, that's the way Lucas wrote the original one, and that's how they're kind of writing this one. And, you know, and from what David told me or told us earlier, was the screenwriter has said it's all going to make sense on the last episode. Like, we made sure we went through and didn't mess anything up. So we'll see how they do it. I mean, I was telling David the other day on our Patreon episode how I guess maybe we shouldn't talk about it since it's for Patreon. Anyways, y'all heard it first on Patreon. About how Star Wars theory is like they have to erase Leia's mind. They have to do a mind erase on her. And I was like, they've never done a mind erase ever in any canon Star Wars. And all of a sudden that's what everyone's like, oh yeah, she's gonna have to get her mind erased somehow. And I was like, no, I don't know. There's a lot of people who are thinking that they have messed up the canon and the timeline. But we got to see how this last episode goes.
I'm kind of on that train. I don't really see how they're going to recover out of this. I think there might be some weak story points they could pull out to kind of sort of explain this, but I'm kind of on the opinion that they're kind of too far out in left field to really logically bring this one back in.
When Disney bought Lucasfilm back in 2012 and announced that all the new movies going forward, all the new novels, all the comic books were going to be canon, I was like, that's going to be very, very difficult to pull off. So now we're, 10 years later? And, I mean, if there's some inconsistencies or weak spots, like you say, Carl, I mean, to me, it's not that big a deal for me personally. So,
and like we talked about before the show, my problem right now is that, as it stands, Bail Organa, Leia Organa are traitors to the Empire and should be executed. And the Empire knows that they are.
No, at this point, Reva's the only one that knows any of this right now.
No.
At this point in the show, in the timeline, Reva is the only one who knows. Reva's the only one who kidnapped.
Right, that's why they showed that scene with the communicator. She has that big realization that, oh my gosh, there's another kid.
Right, but Vader chokes her out for letting them go, so he knows.
No,
he knows who was the alien that she had somebody kidnapped, and he knows who that somebody was, being Bail Organa's daughter. He doesn't know it's his kid. I can understand, but he does know what she did ahead of time, because he's been getting on her for messing it up, and then she keeps coming up with, well, no, but I put a tracker on it.
He choked her out because she let Kenobi escape. He doesn't care about who Leia is or anything about that.
Right, because he thinks, well, it's just some senator's daughter. I don't care about a senator's daughter.
Yeah, exactly.
But he knows that the two of them are together. I mean,
but just like the Grand Inquisitor said, that's my problem.
That's fine, but you now have traitors.
But it wasn't Bail Organa directly.
It seems a bit out of place.
Yeah, going after Leia. It was Obi-Wan. And
which is how she's introduced in the New Hope. Is, you know, I'm a member of the Imperial Senate. I don't see that where we're standing right now. Now, there is the possibility that they explain that and fix that somehow.
Did we lose Carl?
His connection appears to be kind of choppy. But yeah, so I wanted to go over this article from Star Wars Newsnet that popped up here. There is a possibility for a second season. I know we've talked about this on the podcast before. So their article states that Obi-Wan Kenobi has been a massive success for Disney Plus, and it's rivaling the level of engagement on compared to another series that was released simultaneously on that Friday, I believe May 27th, Stranger Things 4. So we have dueling series between Disney Plus and Netflix. And GQ spoke with Ewan McGregor and asked him if he'd come back and reprise the role of Obi-Wan Kenobi. He says, I really hope we do another. If I could do one of these every now and again, he said he'd be happy about it, which I think we've spoke about this before. McGregor also says, well, it was definitely conceived as a standalone story, but he would love to continue with the character. You know, I think there's certainly more there to explore, and I would be so excited to get to do so. I would certainly be open to appearing in a second season. And McGregor also says, I hope it's not the last time I play him. I had such a great time doing this. I'm sure we can think of a few more stories before I turn into Alec Guinness. Don't you? Because, yeah, there is a good amount of time there in between.
And I think there's enough story to where they could really, really get into this. I mean, he could have found Ahsoka. You know, he could have. Oh, there he is. Hey, Carl, we lost you, man.
Yeah, my ISP just messed up.
No, gotcha. But now we're talking about how Kenobi. Yeah, that's who he is. Ewan McGregor said he would love to come back for a second season, that he feels that there's a lot more to explore. So here's my taking on this is, hold on one second. Sorry. So season two of Mandalorian, is that better than season one Mandalorian?
I would say yes and no. Yes, as far as scale and money that you can see on the screen. No, as far as the artistic vision that was given to us in that first season.
Gotcha.
They really made it work as a standalone story with the non-astronomical budget that season two clearly had. And I really love season one for specific reasons, and I really love season two for totally different reasons.
Gotcha.
So needless to say, I really love those two seasons of The Mandalorian. I was watching my favorite episodes today for Father's Day.
Which ones?
So I watched episode one of season two. I had that going in the background while I was eating breakfast. And then after that, I watched... So that was the Marshall, I believe, right? And then I watched the Jedi with Ahsoka. And I also watched the Heiress with Bo-Katan. And then I watched the very last episode of season two, The Rescue.
Nice.
Yeah. And I do want those hot toys. I think Carl has some of those, or they're on the way. But yeah, that hot toy of Ahsoka with Grogu and
Caladan. Yeah, it's not released yet.
Yeah, it's on pre-order possibility. So I think it's, what, $250,
$350? I can tell you.
I think the price went up because I think it was like $280.
Well, I can tell you how much it was when I pre-ordered it.
Okay.
So,
go on.
Yeah, I was gonna say that one, and I believe there's the new deluxe edition with Din Djarin full armor, full Beskar, with Grogu in the pram. That's another one that I would love to get.
The Din Djarin that has the diecast armor is the one that I already pre-ordered. That looks killer.
Wow!
So it's actual metal pieces instead of painted plastic.
Right.
So, unfortunately, it's the same price as every Iron Man, every diecast figure. So it's $480, $490, something like that.
So what? One thing I was going to say, David, is for me, season one of Mando is amazing, but it felt to me like it was a big introduction to get into season two and what's going to happen in season three. Season one was a nice introduction to get us there. Book of Boba Fett, which I'm hoping they do a second season, because it seems like Book of Boba Fett was just a huge introduction into, like, Boba Fett is now the official, you know, what they call him, Dayu of Tatooine, you know, and then him going on his adventures. Plus, Tamara Morrison has even said, like,
Daimyo, right?
Daimyo, yeah, that's the name of the planet.
Dayu is the name of the planet, no,
but
we're
yeah,
all stick so, here.
but yeah, I think if you do a Kenobi show, a second season, you could really get into a lot of the lore, a lot more communication with him and Yoda, him and Qui-Gon, and then going on missions. Like, I don't know, like pretty much what we thought the first season was going to be, but it just seems like it's a good introduction into what we could possibly get in the next season.
And that's Boba Fett will be back for sure. And the whole kind of climactic event thing that's going to happen. We don't know what that event's going to be. Is going to be a huge series, or is it going to be maybe a film, a trilogy of films? That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
It would be, don't know those details yet.
It'd be really cool. I'd rather have a Boba 2 over Obi-Wan 2, somebody says. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, the numbers say differently, though, because there's probably going to be an Obi-Wan something or other, according to all the metrics and the performance of the show. So Ewan McGregor is most likely coming back, and I'm all for that. And I want Hayden back too. And see, I think that we've, as fans, we've been talking about, we've been wanting these Clone Wars flashbacks. And we were hoping for that at the beginning. And I think hopefully, about the Clone Wars, include Ahsoka Tano in there.
My only concern there is that I don't think they can do it for reasons that we talked about earlier, because you would have to de-age them so much.
They already did it with Luke Skywalker.
They've never done it in a full action scene, which is what Clone Wars would be. It would look terrible.
And also, like,
it doesn't matter.
But for me,
it would matter to people. Okay? Trust me. People say it what doesn't matter, but by the time you see how bad that looks.
I will say this, though. I am with Carl on this, because the flashback we did with Kenobi and Anakin was really good, because it was done and it was shot in a way, and it was kind of a quick sequence if you really think about it. a full-on show, it would be a little difficult unless they have the budget of a full-on movie.
If you're willing to throw $400-500 million an episode, sure, you can do it. It's all possible, but no.
But yeah, they wouldn't do that. It would still be what they're kind of doing now. And then technology is getting better as well.
True, I mean,
if you did concentrate on it, and like they've kind of done with Mark Hamill, is like hide them in the action and just show the backs of their heads or bodies or whatever when they're in action. I mean, pull the camera back. I mean, there's so many different ways to do it.
I mean, to me, like I said, what's in Book of Boba Fett looks absolutely atrocious to me personally. I know a lot of people like it. It looks terrible, in my
opinion. Yeah, the majority is fine with it. I mean,
no, mind you, I do CG work, you know, hobbyist style, but I can at least see that that's not well done. It just doesn't look good.
But I've heard people say they don't want to see flashbacks because we've gotten the whole Clone Wars. Like, there's seven seasons. Like, it's already there. We don't need to see.
I agree.
We don't need to see a Clone Wars flashback if we've already seen it.
In my personal opinion, I think I've told David this before. It's like, look, with all the legacy characters, I think you're better off doing that in animation form. And that includes, like, I would love to see Luke stories. I just don't want to see this de-aging Mark Hamill stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Animation is cheaper.
I'd be fine with Sebastian Stan.
If you want to recast now, Kathleen Kennedy made that comment about we don't want to get recast legacy characters. Okay, fine, then don't.
But that makes no sense too, because I mean, look at Donald Glover.
But that was already done prior. That's a casting that happened prior to that.
Right, yeah. But there's going to be a Lando show.
Well, we don't actually know that for
100% certain.
That was announced to investors, and yeah,
well, that
it was in the Vanity Fair article too.
Right, yeah, but that doesn't mean stuff gets announced to investors all the time, and movie studios have things cooking as projects that never make it out into a final product.
That
doesn't mean anything. Like unlike what's released, like once it hits a movie release schedule, that means something. That means you're actually intending to do this. But
okay, so then that means we're deep faking.
We're deep faking what?
Well, Lando. Here's what I was going to say is they're not going to do it anymore.
Yeah, I don't think I think they thought they were going to do it. I don't think they're going to do it
anymore. But they've already cast Lando, so that's done.
They have a writer. They have like a showrunner. They have a director. Yeah, right. But they don't have Donald Glover officially publicly announced as signed back on to play Lando. But they really can't because he's in a Rian Johnson situation where he decided to do all these projects prior to, and now because he's kind of stuck. Pull
the trigger. So yeah, I don't think the Lando thing is happening. I'd be very surprised if it did. The only way that they would do it is if they could get Donald Glover back. I don't think they're going to cast another Lando, nor are they going to deep fake an entire show. Doing small little snippets like they did in Mandalorian and in Boba Fett, that's one thing. Doing an entire show based on a deepfake is absolutely not going to happen. I mean, just on the money factor, you have to pay an actor to play the roles, and then you have to pay somebody to replace their head. I mean, that's just not feasible for a TV budget. Maybe if you were going to go full on feature film, $450 million and do a CG style and do like a Tarkin or something. Okay, fine. But yeah, I don't see that happen. Nobody's spending that kind of money.
So I want Filoni to do a Luke show in the animation that they are doing for Tales of the Jedi.
I'd be down for that.
I think that would make a lot. I think a lot of people would be excited for that if they were like, this takes place between episodes 6 and 7, and we're gonna get Luke's journey.
And they could use a re-speecher.
And they could use a re-speecher, or I'm gonna just say I think it would be better to recast a voice actor to play Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. I mean, and that's why there's no problem with that. I mean, the all the voice actors that did Ewan McGregor for
Clone Wars,
right? They're fine. There's no problem with casting another voice actor. Actually, employ somebody else. Mark Hamill is fine on the money front. He doesn't need any more cash.
Yeah, I don't think Mark Hamill needs to, because they probably.
Why spend the extra money if you can hire somebody to just do it and it won't even bother anybody? Voice actors have never bothered anybody. Nobody's ever like, oh, that's terrible. No,
they bothered me. Years of the Vader stuff, it doesn't even sound close. It's not Vader. It's just not Vader. What they did in Obi-Wan Kenobi, that's Vader. That's Vader's voice.
Well, they did Vader in Rebels.
Well, that was James Earl Jones, straight up, no re-speecher technology, and you could tell it was older James Earl Jones.
Yeah, it was
older. Didn't really jive. But
I'm gonna have to go, guys. Sorry, my throat's a little too much. Keep going. I'm sorry, just not feeling up to it right now.
Yeah, no problem, James. Thanks for joining, man. Hope you feel better.
Thank y'all so much, Carl. It was good seeing you again. Y'all have fun. May the force be with y'all.
All right, thanks, Ben. You too. All right. So yeah, that's. I think you dropped when I talked about the news about Ewan McGregor talking to GQ about coming back. He's game to come back, and Hayden's ready to come back as well. And of course, Hayden's going to be in the Ahsoka series. And
right, to what capacity we don't know, but you know.
Yeah. And a lot of people were like, why do you hire?
They would actually do like a forward on that one, just use him as a Force ghost and communicate with Ahsoka.
I think Force Ghost Hayden is something fans are really kind of dying to see.
I'd be okay with that. I'm really kind of done with this whole going backwards constantly and re-dipping into the old well. It's like, look, move on. tell new stories.
Thing is, you only have so much time with these actors when they're young enough to do what we're seeing on screen, too. Yeah, so
are they, though? I mean, we covered
it. Giving it to us, it's there.
Yeah. I'm just not sold on the concept.
It's just one of those things.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, they're going to do what they're going to do. So, and then we're going to watch it and we're going to like it or not.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only news that kind of dropped this week that was really kind of worth talking about. There's a lot of birthdays, actually, that have passed this past week. I know Rick Famuyiwa, I believe Deborah Chow. A lot of Mandalorian connections there. And some people from, I believe, one of the admirals from The Empire Strikes Back. But yeah, we thought May was the big Star Wars month for birthdays, but June is pretty big too. And
well, there's a lot of people in Star Wars.
Well, I mean, a lot of people don't get recognized. And it seems like people like that were not like main characters are really getting recognized by the official Star Wars account. So it's a real interesting thing that they do now it does kind of seem now that just about every day or every other day they announce someone's birthday. But yeah, and I was thinking about this too. We're getting to the point where if you're a fan, if you're a younger fan or even an older fan and you walk into Star Wars and you're not familiar with it, there's a lot of stuff out there that you're going to have to catch up on to get really up to snuff on what fans like us are kind of at that point. And it feels like it wasn't too long ago where there was not a lot of stuff out there. We had Legends like you talked about earlier, and we had the original trilogy, and then the prequels came out. But now, I mean, we have so many animated series. We have the live action series that's building on canon. And we had this, I believe we had this conversation on Patreon, James and I. We spoke about how if we talk about this a lot on the podcast, if we were in charge of Lucasfilm, how would our strategy for releasing content play out for live action? And for me, I would still want the older stuff, all the connectivity to be, all the gaps to be filled in, like what Ewan McGregor is saying if he comes back to do an Obi-Wan Kenobi season 2 or whatever in that 10 years that he can participate in between Obi-Wan Kenobi, the limited series, and A New Hope. But there's opportunities there still to fill that in, fill that type of stuff in, and do newer series like skeleton crew, which is going to happen after Return of the Jedi. And possibly what Taika's doing. He's in the process of writing that, and apparently that's
Taika's made a couple of statements that he's apparently not attaching himself to anything that exists right now. He's using the universe, but he's not using anything else. That's what he's claiming. We'll see if that actually holds true. I would appreciate it. Because like I said, I'm ready for new Star Wars stories. I love my original Star Wars stuff. I mean, I don't spend thousands of dollars on memorabilia just to not like it, you know?
Right.
Clearly,
right.
I like these, like what's been created. But my thing is okay, if we're done with this, we've heard the stories. If you want to continue in animation, I'm okay with that. Continue in writing, make comic books, make books, like anything that where you don't have to continuously have this, oh, who do we cast, or you know, we can't recast, you don't have that problem in the book, because if you do it in a book, it's the same person because it's in your head, you know.
Obi-Wan buys a house. I need that gap filled. I need that gap filled too. I need the gap filled where he has that chest that also appears in Indiana Jones, where he pulls out the Skywalker lightsaber and hands it to Luke. Where does he get that chest from?
The gap, like you said. No, I'm kidding. but no, my thing is I don't need to see everything on screen. For one, in my head, it already, all of that really exists already. So, and I think this is also the biggest problem is that because all of us have headcanon, right? We all have a version of what probably happened. Anytime they put out any one of these shows, the only thing that you're going to do is you're going to piss off somebody. Somebody's going to get mad about it not matching. That's not my Obi-Wan. That's not my Darth Vader. That's not my Leia. That's not my Luke. So just why do it? If all you're going to do is end up having people complain about stuff, then don't do it at all. Tell a new story. You don't have that problem if you do new stuff. You know?
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like you keep trying to dip into something that all that happens is people get mad about it.
And that's the thing with doing new stuff, though. It's not the fact that you're doing new stuff. The new stuff has to hit with audiences. The characters, the storyline, the ships. I mean, everything has to. I mean, that's a huge amount of pressure on any filmmaker. And so many filmmakers have passed on stuff. And of course,
which is where you get somebody that's immensely creative, like a Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
Just like when they hired Ryan Johnson, they should have let him do his own thing.
Mm. Well, I mean, they did let him do his own thing with The Last Jedi.
Well, not really.
And they gave him a trilogy. They gave him like plot points and notes and everything. But I
am firmly convinced looking at the script, which by the way I do have a Last Jedi script here somewhere, that the published version of the script that you can buy at Barnes and Noble, Amazon, and so forth, but there are two writers on that. There are sections in that script that don't match writing styles,
right? And we all know Carrie Fisher did help out with the script too,
so like that entire Canto Bite scene, that wasn't Ryan Johnson. That doesn't even fit into the movie. I mean, that just seems like some random, oh, hey, let's insert this. I don't know where that came from, why it's there. I have no idea. It just doesn't even match the movie. But, you know, whatever. I mean, at the end of the day, it is what it is that happened. It is now canon, so deal with it. But like I said, my thing is, why are we continuing to try to mess with something that was more or less as perfect as it was going to get? You're never going to make any improvements. All you're going to do is make things worse for somebody, not necessarily for every individual, but some group of fans is always going to, I don't like this. Is it possible to make cool Star Wars stories? Obviously, because, you know, Mandalorian season one clearly did that. People liked it. It has nothing really to do with the original stuff. Yeah, there's stormtroopers in the background, but other than that, it doesn't tie into anything until season two. Which I personally feel was a mistake. They shouldn't have done that. I think they should have let it run all by itself. But that seems to be what Taika wants to do. That's what Taika excels at, is telling original stories. You know, watch Jojo Rabbit. It doesn't get much more original than that. So what we do in the shadows, you know, so this guy tells original stories, and he usually comes at it from some sort of, you know, oh, this is what I'm going to set this in, be it Nazi Germany or, you know, vampires hanging out in the suburbs, that, you know, or pirates on the ship. You know, I don't know if anybody watched that show other than me. Our flag means death.
Yeah, James watches it actually, and yeah, he's going to have to return to that before he shoots on any Star Wars film.
I'm a pretty big fan of Taika Waititi's.
Yeah, I am too.
And not just because of Thor Ragnarok. I like what that man comes up with. I like the way his brain works. I like the way he integrates stuff. Because even Thor Ragnarok, he uses the other Thor movies more as scenery, and then tells his own original story inside that scenery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, in my opinion, that's what Star Wars needs. You need somebody that can take that scenery and tell a story within that, not retell stories we've already heard 15 times.
Yeah, i.e. that sequence with Jason Sudeikis as a scout trooper,
exactly,
with Grogu in the satchel.
Yep.
That was hilarious, entertaining, and a lot of fans I saw right afterwards, Star Wars needs more of this, and that was all Taika. You could tell, I mean, that would had Taika's signature all over it.
Right.
He directed that last episode.
So I'm pretty interested to see what he comes up with. And
yeah,
I'm pretty sure he is not going to use. There's not going to be any Luke. There's not going to be any Leia. There's not any Obi-Wan. None of these characters are going to be anything other than sideline characters. You might see, you know, just your oddball general from one of the other movies mentioned, or, you know, depending on what era this is finally going to be. We don't even know that. We don't know where this is going to fit time frame wise. So might you see mention of the Emperor? Sure. Well, might you see mention of Tarkin? Sure. Are you going to see Tarkin or the Emperor? No, I don't think so. I don't think that none of those characters are going to appear in this. At the same time, I also hope that they do not.
Right. So,
me personally, I'm kind of at the point now. I'm good with what I got out of all the existing things. I want a new story. I want more Hot Toys with new characters. I don't want to keep buying yet another variant of Leia, which I have five of. Six of, sorry. You know, so that's my thing. It's time to fill my Hot Toys case with things other than Luke, Leia, Lando. You know, love those figures. Look great. But I need something else. I need new characters.
So we talked, James and I spoke about this on Patreon one night. What do you think about maybe a film or a trilogy where Taika and Rian Johnson co-direct or join forces in writing in some way?
I would love it. Rian Johnson's a fantastic director. I don't care what people think about Last Jedi. Rian Johnson's a fantastic director. Go watch his work. Go look at what he wrote, you know, what he's written. You know, click through his IMDb and tell me that that's not a pretty impressive body of work for somebody that young, especially. So clearly he has talent. So yes, I would like to see that. I would like to see him actually come back to Star Wars and tell his own story. Let people work in a way that they with what they're best at. Rian Johnson's an original storyteller. Shoehorning it into existing material is probably not the best use of somebody like that. Unless you're willing to give him complete freedom, which I don't think that he got in Last Jedi. I don't think he got complete freedom to, okay, you can do whatever you want. No, that's not what we got there. That's not. And again, if you watch these people's movies, if you look through the way things are directed, the way things are shot, there's like Rian Johnson's movies in general are shot very lovingly. There's a lot of personal attachment to things. So these are very personal movies, and a lot of Last Jedi is shot in that fashion. But then there's other parts of it where there's just none of that. None of the passion shows through it. It's just meh. Okay, here you go. And that's a problem. That means somebody was interfering with the creative process on some level. I don't know what that level was, but clearly Rian Johnson wasn't enjoying himself making part of that movie. Because when Rian Johnson enjoys himself, Knives Out was amazing. Yes, it was. Yeah, that's what you get when you're Rian Johnson's having fun all the way through a production. And that's not Last Jedi. He's not having fun in that movie. You can see it. It's on screen. You can tell that certain parts he enjoyed quite a bit and other parts he didn't like at all. Because the passion's not there. You know, if you watch Looper, you know, the passion's there. So when you get somebody like that, let them do what they do. Not, okay, come in after the fact. Ah, can you edit this? Can you do this? Can you reshoot that? No. That's not how it works. Not if you're going to get somebody like a Rian Johnson or a Taika Waititi. And I think Kevin Feige seems to clearly understand that, because I would say that Thor Ragnarok, you know, Taika Waititi was clearly left alone to do his movie. You know, they told him, you need to start here and end there. What you do in between is your thing. You can't violate any of these other scripts. And go. So that seems to be kind of more what I would like to see in Star Wars. If you're going to continue to work in existing universe stuff, either leave it behind and start something new, or if you're going to continue to work here, kind of do the A to B and then let people create something, not do this extreme over-the-shoulder micromanaged type stuff. That doesn't seem to work for me anyway. It doesn't look good. I mean, that's my opinion. And it would be a better product if you brought in new people and let them tell new stories. Because clearly there's still tons of stuff to be told in the Star Wars universe as a universe. We haven't seen half of any of this. So if you're going to tell visual stories, I'm all for that. But tell new visual stories. Go to new planets. Show us new characters that work with the same blasters. Then yeah, you can have the Empire in the background, but you know, clearly there's other things that happen other than the Skywalker saga and the directly surrounding, because even Mandalorian, they started dipping back into Skywalker saga instead of leaving it alone. We're somewhere else in the galaxy. Nobody cares about Luke Skywalker in this part of the galaxy, because that part of the galaxy exists, I guarantee you, but nobody cares. You know, nobody... people haven't heard of Luke Skywalker in those areas. They don't know what happened. They don't care what happened. But they still exist in the Star Wars universe. They're affected by the economics of everything. They're affected by the politics of, you know, of the grand thing. Work in that. Play with that. It would be a much better story instead of constantly trying to shoehorn in things. Remember this, kids? You know? Okay, well, that's like watching somebody's old slideshow. You know, how long are you going to stay at there at that person's house when you bring out their vacation photos? Nobody wants to see that. It's you know, every once in a while having like a cameo. That's cool. Obviously, you know, have Hondo walk across the screen and everybody go, oh, look, it's Hondo. Or
yeah, you know, Matt and Colin have been clamoring for Hondo so much because I mean, he's there at Galaxy's Edge and. He has woven himself in a lot of stories, and he's around. And
well, just, clearly they intended to do more with that character.
Yeah,
it would seem, but then I don't know what happened, because Black Spire Outpost it appears in the novels, and clearly they were going to go somewhere with that, and then it's just kind of me.
And apparently, yeah, apparently there is a really big rumor floating around. That Black Spire Outpost is going to appear very, very soon in a live action property. And I think the popular guess is that it's going to be February for the Mandalorian season 3. There's going to be some type of event where we see Batuu. And
how cool would it be if they actually shot it at Disney? And then just digitally enhance it. And I'm serious. I think that would be really awesome. Because
in Anaheim.
Yeah, go to Anaheim, or Orlando. It doesn't matter which one you pick. There.
Well, I mean, they're shooting in that area show with the volume. I think there's 3 volumes there now in the Manhattan Beach area. But yeah, so Fennec Shand and Boba Fett are walking Galaxy's Edge now, and they already announced that Din Djarin with Grogu will also be walking around soon enough. So it will make sense in a way, unless Kylo Ren is walking around.
Or he is already walking around.
But I mean, simultaneously, you know, I mean,
I think what they're going to be doing, I think they're going to be flipping it.
I think would be in their best interest.
I think it would be smart to kind of switch gears on a semi-regular basis. Because, like, for example, redressing the First Order store into an Empire store wouldn't be a stretch. It's not like there's a lack of merchandise for Empire or First Order. You can still put the First Order stuff into the bazillion other gift shops around Disney World or Disneyland. It's not like you have to stop selling it. Is it unfortunate that the big ship is sitting right in front of it? Maybe, but not really that big a deal either,
Yeah, I mean, you could dress it as something else.
But you can either dress it as something else or, well, I don't know if it's mobile. They might be able to take it down and put it back up at a later point. I don't know. Or move it to a different part of the park.
Yeah, and that ship is a Colin Trevorrow ship, the TIE Echelon. That was supposed to be in Colin Trevorrow's version of Episode 9, which we never got. And so, they just didn't include that ship whatsoever. And I'm not even sure that's included in any of the novels either, or comic books or anything.
Yeah, I don't know about comic, but I mean, it wouldn't matter if it's in the novel or not because you didn't see it in the novel. So, yeah.
Well, they could talk about it, though. The TIE Echelon, which is supposed to be Kylo Ren's new ship towards the end. So.
But my thing is it would be easy enough to do without any major effort. Just like our real seasons change in real life, make it different seasons. Every once in a while, Black Spire Outpost is patrolled by the Empire. Sometimes it's just a smuggler's outpost, and you can have Din Djarin walking around. And then you go into the future, and it's, Kylo Ren and Rey and all that stuff. But that's kind of the beauty of Star Wars in general, is that they really aren't that big of a gap in technology in generations. At the end of the day, the ships look slightly different, but the technology is never any different. They still just go to hyperspace. They go the same speed inside hyperspace as they have from the prequels until now. At least they never mentioned anything that, now we're going at double hyperspace or, hyperspace plus. So it's always just it's the same stuff. So we're not changing technology. We're just changing look. So that can go either way. I really hope that that Ahsoka does a good job with Thrawn. I think Thrawn is set up in the novels to not be a bad guy anymore at this point. Or at least not an Imperial bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people are still thinking that, or seemingly thinking that he's just going to be, what he was in Heir to the Empire, like the continuation of the Empire. That's not what's in the novel. So if they consider the novels to be canon, that's not even logical. He wouldn't, because the whole arrangement between Thrawn and the Emperor is, I'm going to be loyal to you as long as you're alive. Well, the Emperor's not alive anymore, so therefore, Thrawn's not going to be loyal to the Emperor because he's openly loyal to the Chiss Ascendancy. That's who he's loyal to. He even says that to the Emperor to his face. He's like, that's where my loyalty is. As long as you're a benefit to the Chiss, I'm a benefit to you.
Before we go, let me get your thoughts on what you think is going to happen in the finale of Obi-Wan Kenobi, and what are your thoughts on maybe what should happen?
What's going to happen? It's kind of hard to say because, like I said, in my personal headcanon version, they're kind of in a corner. They have to undo some of the stuff that's currently clearly being indicated. Like, you can't have Bail Organa end up being a traitor to the Empire. Not at this point. You can't have Leia be a traitor to the Empire. Not at this point. That can't happen until episode 4, A New Hope. Which, to me, that is part of the problem where they're at right now with the show. So they're going to have to undo that somehow. I don't know how you do it. To be quite honest, I don't know how you talk yourself out of that one, because you've kind of gone down that path without. I don't think there's enough time to do it. I honestly don't know where they're going to go with the final episode.
Talked about that whole rumor of this last episode for Obi-Wan Kenobi is going to be an hour and 33 minutes. I'm not sure that's so true. I think it might be 58 minutes long or whatever.
I don't think we're going to get much more than what we've got on the other episodes. This is going to be an ultra mini episode. Like, what was it, episode 4? I think was the shortest. So this is going to be one of those 33 minutes for done.
Hopefully I don't think that. I think we're going to get a long one, but I don't think we're going to go over an hour. Yeah, and if we do go over an hour, it's not going to be by much.
No, I think at most you're going to get 45 minutes of actual episode plus plus end credits plus intro. So by the time you cut it down, it's going to be maybe a 45 minute episode without of actual story on screen. So I don't know. I don't think, and then there might be a cool little, mid-credit scene added to it. That's a possibility that you do something there to indicate something else happening. I don't know that it's necessary, but it's possible.
So yeah, I've heard that due to the fact that Obi-Wan Kenobi is super successful via streaming on Disney Plus, there was a modification made to the last episode to enable them to maybe do a second season or include more story points in future Obi-Wan Kenobi stuff. I like that, and I think that is a possibility. And, of course, we all know that Kathleen Kennedy made the statement that we're going to get the rematch of the century, so we're going to get a huge fight with Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader. If we don't get that, I think Star Wars fans are going to riot. But I'm pretty sure we're going to get it. And I think that Obi-Wan Kenobi, like James said earlier, they're going to have to make it look like Obi-Wan Kenobi died in some form or fashion. And
that will probably not be a bad idea. However, I don't think that that's going to, I don't think we're going to get the big duel that everybody thinks we're going to get. I think we may have already gotten that.
I think we're getting a big duel. I think that's going
to
happen.
I don't think it fits. It fits into canon to have a big duel.
Yeah.
You'd just be having a big duel to have a big duel. It has nothing to do with the overall story arc of Star Wars. This is just, oh, let's have them fight. It comes down more like me busting out my Obi-Wan and Darth Vader figure out of my case and start playing with them.
Well, there is a story point that I've always wondered about when Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader do meet on the Death Star and they have their duel in episode 4. They're not very nimble. They're not very athletic. And the way you can maybe account for that is if Obi-Wan essentially leaves Vader the same way he left him in episode 3. Like more messed up than he left him.
But it's already accounted for in canon. Why Vader is in the condition he's in by the time episode 4 comes around, because the Emperor keeps messing him up further and further. The Emperor it knows fully well that Vader is his foil, so therefore he keeps him less functional than he needs to be. So as Vader is getting more powerful as a Jedi, mechanically he's being downgraded.
Yeah, there definitely was from Fuzik. Wasn't there concept art where they fight on a lava planet? Yes, there was, and I think we're going to see that realized on screen. I don't think there's going to be a fight on Tatooine, but yeah.
I mean, if they do that, then they've truly broken canon at this point. I mean, at that point, if that fight occurs on Tatooine, then I'm sorry, it's just not feasible.
Yeah, my head canon is always, since the announcement of the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, I'm just like, man, Obi-Wan's going to mess up Vader again. So we can have that line kind of filled out to fruition. When we last met, I was but the learner. Now I am the master. And of course, we all thought years and years ago that that was after he left them on the banks of the Mustafar lava river. But I think it could work this way too. But
yeah. But with some of the OP stuff they've showed him do now, like ripping a spaceship out of the sky and that sort of thing, it's like, can you really honestly say that he's a learner at this point?
Yeah, Vader wouldn't dare step on sand.
Right. Even though he was back on a sand planet in this episode. Shouldn't he have said something like, I can't stand this planet, I'm out of here. I'm not fighting here. All these deserts everywhere.
Yeah. On that note, I want to say thanks, everyone, for your patience with us on Patreon. James and I have been out of commission, but we do have Colin right now at Galaxy's Edge. He was going to be on the podcast, but he's like, I got a reservation, so I'm going to go record. So he's out there. If you're out in Orlando and you see him, he probably has one of these on him. So stop him. Or maybe one of these, too. I think he has some coins as well. So. Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks to James who joined us, who announced that he's sick. And for Carl, he's been my buddy for decades. We always go to celebrations together. So hopefully London happens. And Carl's already booked us rooms. So
yeah, we hope to see you there. Like we're going to be there. So at least the two of us. I don't know if everybody else is going to make it, but...
James and Colin really want to go. I think James will probably be there as well. I think he's going to do a whole big family kind of vacation to go out there. So, yeah, RFB, thank you so much for helping us moderate the chat. And may the Force be with you.